Have you ever been to the circus? Perhaps not recently, but maybe when you were much younger. Do you perhaps have memories of some wild animals performing at the circus? Monkeys, lions, tigers? Well, recently, one of Australia's largest travelling circuses, Stardust Circus, has finally retired its use of exotic animals in its shows after travelling the lengths and the breadths of Australia with an assortment of lions and monkeys in recent years. So what does this mean for the future of animal welfare for exotic animals in the future in Australia? And has a precedent been set now that disparages any one individual or organisation training wild animals to perform in a similar way? To help us unpack this development, we are now joined by Emily Rice. She's a Senior Outreach and Partnerships Manager from PETA Australia. Good afternoon, Emily.
Hello.
So thank you for coming on air. My first question for you is, how do wild animals such as lions and monkeys become involved with a travelling circus in the first place?
Well, I think that the history and the tradition of having animals perform in wild circuses kind of harks back to the days when, it was, and I use air quotes here, even though it's radio, acceptable to have, you know, anything that was seen as a freak show or a sideshow or, you know, unable to be seen in, you know, normal society in circuses. So I think of your bearded ladies, and I think it goes from there. There was a time when a lot of the world circuses had elephants performing, even bears, lions, tigers, things like that. And, you know, in more recent times we've seen more domesticated animals like ponies and dogs join them. But that wild, sadly, the element of having wild animals in there hasn't gone away because circuses have then bred those animals that have been brought into the circuses. At once upon a time, they would have come from the wild. And so then they have kind of been able to justify the fact that, oh, you know, these animals grew up in the circus, as if that's an excuse for using animals that at heart are wild. So it's got, sadly, taking a really long time to die out, but we're really thrilled that there's been a development just this last week that's seen that it's actually Australia's last remaining circus that was using wild animals, confirming that they're retiring their lions and monkeys. So that's an amazing step forward.
Oh, absolutely an amazing step forward. I mean, if I were to go looking for a tiger to purchase, I assume that would be illegal. So is the only reason that these animals have been able to continue outside of a zoo or a sanctuary home is because they have kind of bred these animals over the years and they first obtained them legally?
Yeah, I think that is part of it. And I think that there's also the fact that, you know, people who maybe don't know any better and don't realise what a hardship it is for wild animals to be in a circus environment. You know, they get told, I think families get told, you know, they love to perform or whatever it may be, but they don't look at the fact that these animals, any wild animal needs to have its spirit broken if it's going to perform behaviours that are completely unnatural to them. They also get shipped around in tiny cages and they spend most of their lives locked away. They're not spending any time, you know, in bigger areas when they're not performing. So I think that people don't think sort of beyond the 90 minutes that they're in the big tent to think about what's going on for these animals. And I think that, the fact that you grow up seeing them somewhat normalizes you to seeing them. So then when you're taking your own kids, you
absolutely
think nothing of it, when actually when you're that generation of parent, you have an opportunity to educate kids that animals aren't here for our entertainment.
Looking more broadly, are there any laws or regulations in place to first of all protect the welfare of, wild and exotic animals, but also mitigate how they are used, you know, for commercial practices?
There are welfare regulations around animals, you know, in general, although many people would argue that they don't go far enough, you know, just as you'll get people who say that there's not enough regulations around the way that greyhounds are used in the racing industry and horses are used in the racing industry. There's the same concerns with animals that are used for entertainment, whether that's a travelling petting zoo or a travelling circus or, you know, a roadside zoo. And I think we like to think that we're much better than, you know, Joe Exotic, which we all watched in horror while we were in lockdown. But in reality, for the animals, it doesn't really matter who the warden is. The experience is the same and it's heartbreaking for them. So laws and things, Australia's got a really spotty kind of record with this. So we have about 40 councils in Australia where circuses exhibiting wild animals has a ban. So you can't bring a circus into that council and perform on their land because they have that sort of a ban. And the ACT as a state also has a law prohibiting the exhibition of wild animals in performing acts. So there are few laws, but they're too few and far between. We certainly want to see that happen in New South Wales, where, you know, we see a lot of, and I mean, when one act decides to retire animals, that doesn't mean that another act can't come in unless we have a law in place in the ground. So we definitely need to keep fighting for that, even though we've had somewhat of a good news in this respect. So, yeah, unfortunately, the laws are a little bit spotty. We are seeing global movement away from this. Only at the end of last year, France announced that they were banning animals in circuses as well as animals performing in dolphinariums and being bred for marine parks. So that was actually a huge stride forward from quite a big European player to say, we're drawing a line in the sand. The science tells us that we need to move on, and we are. So that's what we want to see here.
No, that is fantastic news. I mean, obviously there is that fear that just because Stardust Circus has retired their use of wild animals, another commercial entity could just do the same and pick up where they've left off. However, it is good to see that, you know, local councils and then states and territories at large are making moves to ban that. So what will happen to these animals now? Obviously, they can't just be released into the bush or, you know, national parks if they are going to be dangerous or not, you know, be well supported there.
No, that's right. And we know that the monkeys have already gone to a safe house, so they have already been taken in by a sanctuary that specialises in primates that can't be returned to the wild. As for the lions, we have been speaking with a sanctuary who is hoping to be able to gain enough fundraising and stuff to be able to accommodate the lions, because lions obviously take a lot of space and they take a lot of food, which is one of the reasons why a circus environment can never meet their fundamental physiological or psychological, you know, needs. Lions like to roam, they like to live in prides, they like to play with their cubs, they have so many behaviours, they like to hunt, they have so many behaviours that can't be satisfied by living in a cage in a trailer, that, you know, that really becomes apparent when you see a sanctuary who specialises in homing these animals go, we need more resources in order to take them on. It kind of does make you go, wait, how were they being accommodated before? And the answer is they weren't. So we're really hopeful that what we will see is the circus seeing their custodianship of these animals through to the end and putting forward the money to make sure that they do go somewhere that's reputable, that's safe, that has a good track record, all of those things, where these lions can live the rest of their lives happily.
My last question for you today, and you have had a lot to say, it's been wonderful talking to you. So now that Stardust Circus has retired its wild animals, do you think the precedent set for exotic animal ownership and use in Australia will change?
Look, I think that our relationship with wild animals has been changing at lightning speed over the last few years as we learn more about them. We've had a lot more insight into the sentience around not just wild animals, but the animals that we consider to be farmed animals as well. They're thinking, they're feeling, they have wants and needs, and we're starting to realise that that doesn't mesh with the ways in which we use them, entertainment being one of them. One of the factors that's expediting a review of our relationship with wild animals has been coronavirus. We now know that our relationship with animal kind is really leading us into some very, very dark places. It doesn't take very much for us to be confronted with another zoonotic pandemic if we keep messing with the balance of animals. And wild animals is one of those situations that we really need to examine. So I think that if any positive is to come out of the horror we've had in the last year or so, it's all of us looking at our relationship with wild animals very differently and with all animals differently, and maybe rethinking some of our choices that aren't so kind.
Well, a lot of food for thought there. Thank you so much for coming on air this afternoon, Emily, and unpacking a rather larger topic.
No worries at all. Thank you so much.
That was Emily Rice. She's a Senior Outreach and Partnerships Manager from PETA Australia, speaking to us here on Drive this afternoon about the significance of Australia's last travelling circus, Stardust Circus, retiring its use of wild animals in its shows and what that means for the future welfare of exotic animals and domesticated animals in Australia more broadly. If you want to read more from PETA Australia and the fabulous work they are doing, of course, please do head to the PETA Australia website. Lots of great tools and resources there to educate yourself.